So as we gather here today, after another week of fires, evacuations, smoke, power cuts and high winds, which affected many of us directly, I don't think you need me to convince you that our climate is severely impacted and action is needed now, right? What we were fearing and warning against a while ago is happening. And it's happening quickly. So we gather here today for this climate justice revival with urgency in our hearts and love for our planet and one another as our call. Climate justice is not merely a cause. It is a moral and spiritual duty, a call to action that encompasses our relationships with each other, with the earth, and with the future that we dream of for generations to come. Now, as you may know, this climate justice revival was dreamed up by the Unitarian Universalist Association as a faith-wide call to climate action. And over 370 congregations around the country have been lifting up the urgency of this subject and calling us as Unitarian Universalists to live our values of interdependence, equity, justice, and transformation by getting more active now. Now, some of you may be wondering what the terminology climate justice actually means. Well, Antoinette Scully explained it really clearly in our community forum last Friday. And it means centering the lives of marginalized communities as we work to alleviate the climate crisis. Climate justice means focusing on how marginalized populations, people of color, Black and Indigenous folk, LGBTQ+, disabled and low-income people, among others, are impacted by climate change. And it's a way of centering people and how they are affected, not just the land. So today I have the privilege of sharing words of wisdom from colleagues who've written sermons specifically for this revival, and I wanted to give you a taste of some of the important writings that are out there around this. We begin with Reverend Andrew Batchor, who in his sermon, A Future Where We Can Thrive, reminds us that climate justice does not exist in isolation. As Batchor eloquently puts it, climate crises do not exist in a vacuum independent of racial hierarchy, economic systems, or our struggles to be in community. Environmental devastation and social injustice are two sides of the same coin. Toxic industries disproportionately harm low-income communities and communities of color. And economic systems rooted in exploitation further entrench these inequities. Just remember how much harder it is for low-income folk who have lost everything, including their jobs, in these fires. They can't just pick up and move to another town. And the social net to hold them is thin, which is why we immediately did a collection as a congregation for the California Community Foundation to help, as Shane mentioned earlier. We need to build coalitions, Batchor reminds us, not just for environmental stability, but for racial justice, economic justice, and gender justice. When we work for climate justice, my friends, we also work for housing justice, for food security, for racial justice, and for healthcare equity. These are not separate battles all in their silos. These are different lenses through which we see the same vision, an interdependent world where all of life can thrive. And we did some imagining of what it might look like to have a world in which everyone, every being, thrives yesterday. Batchor encourages us as UUs to get involved in the intersectional battle for the betterment of all. And of course, sometimes it can feel overwhelming when we become cognizant of all there is to do. But he says, we are not here to dwell in doom and gloom. We are here to demonstrate a vision for how we can live with love and purpose in the face of the challenges in front of us. We will do this. Together, we will do this, he writes. My friends, together we can do this, right? Yes. We witnessed immense creativity and willingness in our climate workshop yesterday, and it gives me such hope. Just look around at all of these ideas. You are full of fantastic ideas of things we can do together. And then Reverend Frances Cozier continues in her sermon, Climate Justice, Individual Action, Classism, and Facing the Hard Truths of Our Faith, by saying there is an individual component, a congregational one, regional ones, and national and international ones to climate action. However, she cautions us that not everyone can do the same things. Equity and compassion are essential as we navigate these actions, ensuring that everyone contributes in ways that align with their abilities and circumstances. And she invites us to find what you can do and do it, and then try to forget about everything else, because we need you to rest too. Cozier highlights the importance of mutual support, stating that supporting each other through our fear is also part of climate action work. And that's something we're already doing here. Many of you opened your homes to others who were evacuating, and you powered these very buildings for us with your electric lights and vehicles. When the power went out, it was an amazing coming together of community. And Cozier also reminds us to remember that those most impacted in these times, we need to acknowledge the nightmare that it is to be a woman, or BIPOC, or trans, or poor, or disabled right now, and it's only going to get worse, even within congregations, so we can unlearn prejudices and grow together. Are you willing to do that work?
Yes.
And next week, we're going to start exploring inclusivity as our theme and explore what it means to be an inclusive faith. So Cozier's vision is not one of despair, but of hope. She invokes the solar punk genre, which was a new idea for me, I have to say, which imagines futures where people who had the courage to dream of a future that was good describe worlds where humanity has overcome climate challenges with technology and innovation. And she reminds us that while the fight can be daunting, somebody out there stubbornly refused to believe that it was too late. I invite us to do the same. Let us not believe that it is too late, because there are victories like reusable products becoming common and species brought back to life from extinction, which in the solar punk genre show that change is possible. And if we act together and keep each other hopeful, change is possible. Can I hear that from you? Change is possible. Because ultimately, my friends, climate justice is an act of love. Cozier asks us to reflect, what will you learn? Because we all have so much we need to learn to make justice of all kinds a reality. And what will you change? Because every change matters, from the smallest to the largest. The answers to these questions shape the justice we create together and embody the love at the center of our faith. And then Reverend Arif Mamdani brings us back to Earth. In his sermon, The Earth is God, he reminds us we need a complete transformation in how we live on this planet, how we understand ourselves in relationship to our Earth, and what we are called to be and do as a result. He asks us to consider, what if the Earth was the body of God? And for those of you who find trouble with the word God, what if the Earth was the body of our whole existence, of all that is? Pause with me for a moment to consider this. Not some old man in the sky, but if the Earth itself is divine, is God, if we truly believed that the ground beneath us, the air around us, the water that sustains us, and the food we grow in the earth were the embodiment of the divine, how, my friends, might we live differently? Can you imagine getting on our knees every morning and giving thanks to our earth that holds us? We are wholly reliant upon the earth, Mom Dani continues, reminding us that the forces of nature are far greater than we can ever be and beyond our understanding and imagination, and that we literally cannot live without it. Yet Western intellect has led us astray, he warns, by believing that we are separate from that which we are inseparably a part of. So to restore this relationship, we must imagine ourselves as deeply interconnected with the earth and with each other, rather than treating it as a resource to be exploited. I've talked with you before about thinking of ourselves as nature so that we can have greater respect for all nature and remember that we are an inseparable part of it. What happens to the earth happens to us. What would we do and not do, Mom Dani asks us, if we saw everything is holy, sacred, and a story of gratitude and interdependence? Every breath we take, every drop of water that we drink, all the fresh food we eat, it's all a gift from our beautiful earth. Can we transform our lives to honor these gifts as sacred? This is not an abstract question. It's an urgent call to action. Can we protect what sustains us? Can we?
We must.
Thank you. We must. Or else we all perish. Finally, Reverend Molly Hausch Gordon really hit me hard in her sermon, How to Survive the End of the World. Catchy title, isn't it? She shares that the decision point we see unfolding now is the question of whether a few will succeed in doubling down on extracting wealth and worth from the earth and its people, or whether the many will awaken together into the work of shift by investing in a regenerative economy focused towards sacredness and mutual thriving. She reminds us we must live in the world while saving it, and suggests that the way we truly survive is by investing in all the alternatives that starve the extractive economy. The way we truly survive, she says, is by finding small daily ways to live the world we seek to create. And then wherever you can, opt into deep community like we have here. That is how we survive. It is how life survives. We tear down the walls. We grow roots, as we sang earlier, for another way inside the world that is crumbling, she says. And then she offers us a not at all joking, totally serious list of how to survive the end of the world. And she encourages us to build strong connections with neighbors, share generously, and care for one another. She urges us to honor our bodies and listen to them deeply, listen to their wisdom, the nature wisdom in our bodies, and to listen to vulnerable voices and draw strength from our ancestors' resilience. And she calls on us to fight injustice, to confront supremacy systems, and remain tender-hearted in the midst of it all, despite hardship. Strong back, soft front, tender heart. She suggests we root ourselves in community, its history, geography, and seasons, and find renewal through singing, dancing, creating, and resting. Yes, resting too. And in the midst of it all, she ends, don't forget to savor life's simple joys like eating pie, or bagels in our case. So in addition to eating pie and bagels, what must we do now, you may be asking? The challenges are immense, but the steps we take together can transform despair into hope. And we absolutely must cultivate hope together, my friends, mustn't we? So you see what we brainstormed yesterday, all these sheets here around us on the windows. Feel free to add your stickers to the areas you think are most important and read all the inspiring ideas we all came up with yesterday. But here are just a few of them, just to give you a glimpse, but there's so many more on the walls. We can begin with individual actions. Choose changes that align with your abilities and values, whether that's reducing waste, eating sustainably, no longer eating beef, for example, or traveling less, avoiding gas vehicles, buying less, reusing the things you buy, or repurposing the things you throw out. Meanwhile, we can continue congregational efforts, such as installing solar panels and batteries, if possible, growing food together, maybe we find an allotment, divesting from extractive industries and fossil fuels, and rethinking building ownership models to reduce environmental and financial strain so we can keep doing the important work. We can partner with grassroots organizations fighting for environmental justice, like the Conejo Climate Coalition. Clint, raise your hand so people can talk to you about it. Or CAUSE, or our very own Chalice Climate Action Team. Again, talk with Clint about that. We can participate in policy advocacy with the Citizens Climate Lobby. Dick, raise your hand. And we can write letters, attend protests, and vote for leaders committed to climate justice. And finally, my friends, we can participate in policy advocacy. We can, oh, I already talked about that. Yes, we must cultivate resilience for us, for all of us. We must build relationships within our wider community. We must offer and receive support and share resources and skills like we did with our electrification fair last year, which was just about a year ago, another incredible climate event here, and like we are with this climate justice workshop this weekend. And above all, my friends, let us work together to stay hopeful. Can I hear an amen about staying hopeful?
Amen.
My friends, this is sacred work. The earth is crying out, and so are its people. But we are not powerless. Even in the face of everything we see, look around this room. And in all the people that are on Zoom, we are not powerless. Together, we can answer this call with courage, creativity, and compassion. As climate activist Lynn Twist, who spends a lot of time in the Amazon rainforest with the Pachamama Alliance, reminds us, and Pamela can tell you more about that, do not lose faith that we humans can end the climate crisis. We have the solutions we need to reverse global warming and to regenerate our natural systems. We have to remain stubborn optimists. Giving into despair is not an option. Even with some strong headwinds from a new U.S. administration, 2025 can be a seminal year for turning around the climate crisis. And nothing is so powerful as an idea whose time has come, and it is time to secure the future for ourselves and generations to come, right? It is time, my friends. It is time to take this really seriously. So let us not leave here today with just a sense of urgency, but also with a sense of possibility. As Reverend Hausch Gordon says, the world is ending and beginning now. We are surviving now. So let us love, let us connect, and let us fight like hell for the dignity of each and all. So I invite you to stay after service, join us for lunch, and then stay for our Love in Action session today to further brainstorm how we can specifically make change together as a community. My beloveds, may we act as if the earth is sacred, because it is. May we build coalitions that honor the interconnectedness of all justice work and all life. And may we dream boldly and live courageously, knowing we are not alone. And may we be the light in the dark, the hope in the struggle, and the love that transforms the world. May it be so.